Hi everyone, here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into another Express Yourself from the left side of the Great Divide. Here we are again. That was Robbie Robertson and the Red Road Ensemble with Mach Chi, mixed in with the sound of some flowing water, which is a really good way to kick off the show because our first guest today, the phrase stand up for Standing Rock has already entered the lexicon thanks to some brave people standing up for a better idea instead of rolling over for an industrial juggernaut. We now have some new possibilities, so thank you for them for that. Not only have these protesters struck a chord in me and in millions more like me, but they have reminded us that we are all of us indigenous earthlings and that clean water and air are not privileges but rights. It is indeed time to stand up for Standing Rock. Tonight, though, we get a chance to dance for Standing Rock. That's because the band Indigenous plays a concert tonight at the 3rd Street Center to benefit those protesters in North Dakota beginning in less than an hour. And here to tell us about it are Tara Sheehan. Hi, Tara.
How you doing, Luke?
Good. Thanks. Welcome to Katie and Kay.
Thanks for having us.
Also with us are Lance King and Charlie King. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Carbondale. Hello.
Welcome to Katie and Kay. And Mato Nanji of the band Indigenous is here, too. Welcome, Mato.
Hello. Great to be here. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happening tonight. Starts in just a few minutes, doesn't it, Tara?
It sure does. So our community is coming together. We're raising funds to deliver to the water protectors up in North Dakota. They're standing on the front lines to block the pipeline so that we don't go across the Missouri River and send a big flow of oil and gas. And more importantly, it's a movement to connect us, the awakening the indigenous in all of us, and understand that we're all connected to each other and to Grandmother Earth. And so to be in good relations with each other and the earth is really important. So we've got some incredible singers, dancers. We've got Mato, of course, and Justin from the band Indigenous. We've got Charlie King, who's an amazing Lakota traditional dancer, and his brother Lance, who plays the flute and drums. And we'll have we put together an awesome Carbondale drum group, Red Horse Carbondale drummers. And just everybody should come out. It's a family event. And just like what we're doing with the global community, it's connecting our local community around Mini, water in Lakota, they say, Mini, which means my life. And so to bring the community together and really look at, we're made of water, and let's look at our water, cleaning up our water, getting all the chemicals out of it, and for our grandchildren and the generations to come.
Carbondale residents, no stranger to protesting against the possibility of polluted water. So it's really interesting and nice to see the cross connections happening between Carbondale and Standing Rock. Mm. It's really cool to see. And I see that you're taking this on the road. You'll be in Boulder on Sunday for E-Town.
We will. We started out in Telluride a couple days ago. We all drove over there and did an amazing event, raised huge funds for Standing Rock, and Mato is all, we were all over there, so now we're we're here in Carbondale. We got our little cool crew together and making this a movement. So from here we go to E-Town tomorrow, 5 o'clock, and have amazing performers. We've got Georgia Middleman, who plays with Kenny Loggins and the Blue Sky Riders, and Ann Harris, who plays with Otis Taylor Band, and Mato and Indigenous. And of course, these guys, Charlie and Lance, who came here and thought they were just going to be kind of showing up and doing a little bit. And we've recruited them for the whole ball of wax. And you know, whether it's, you know, helping us with hauling in equipment to driving. I mean, they're a family. I mean, in their ways, you become family, everybody's family, one earth family. So it's great because there's no, you know, somebody else is doing that. It's like everybody pitching in and wanting this to happen.
You know, I keep hearing that from people who've been up there already. And I think that's pretty remarkable considering not only the conditions there on the ground, but the divisions that have existed for centuries. Mm-hmm. That's a heartful thing to see. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's interesting. You raise a great point. When we get behind something that's really meaningful, and it's not against, this is for water. Mm-hmm. It's a peaceful protest. And so when we're for something, that brings out the best in our humanity. And I think we blur the lines between white, black, red, yellow. And we are the color of the four directions. But more importantly, we all have our heart in the same place, and we're all made of water, and we all want a good life for our children and our grandchildren. So I think that's what unites us. And a really important point for, I think, for myself is to teach and all these understandings that they've always known is that we're connected to Grandmother Earth, and she gives us everything. And that's our indigenous way, to sit around a fire, to honor the animals, the plants, the earth, you know, the rocks. And so they're our teachers. So I feel like it's time for us to humble ourselves and be quiet and listen and learn from them.
Somehow that message and that ethic is being communicated, because first of all, the timing is exquisite given what happened last week during Election Day. But I think that's why people are really gravitating to the message and to the action, because people somehow in a very uncertain time are sensing that heart connection. Mm. And that's really cool to see. I think it's maybe the evolution of things. I hope it is anyway. So kudos to them. Now, I know that the last several days there's been a blizzard up there. So I imagine it can't be too comfortable for them up there right now. Are you taking donations of food and clothing and whatever else over there at the Third Street Center tonight?
What we're doing specifically is fundraising with hard, cold cash so that they can buy the things they need. They need teepees, they need wood stoves, they need teepee poles. And then other people like Dave Taylor and Dave Starbear are actually taking trucks up there with a lot of those supplies, the winter jackets, the sleeping bags. And we're kind of focusing on that because that's basically what the need was. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is we're honoring each and every water protector with the funds that we raise, so that everyone who's been up there on the front lines gets honored, whether it's $1 or $10 or whatever. And then together they can bring those funds and use them for what they need that they know up there at the camp.
Mato, let's bring you into the conversation. I know that you are not from that reservation, but nearby. Is
close,
that correct?
Yeah, I think a little further south, and it's probably about 6 hours away. But, but yeah, where I grew up is right along the Missouri River, too. So
It is.
So it's going to affect all the way down the line. So it's a good thing.
Have you seen protests like this before?
I've grown up around it. My dad and, you know, my grandfather, they've been, you know, fighting for this kind of stuff for, you know, since the beginning. I don't feel like it's new, but I just don't think a lot of people have been exposed to it, you know, like now, like they're getting a chance to see it and see what a lot of the natives on the reservations have been going through for years, I think, too. So, you know, which is originally not our places, you know. We were actually put there on the reservations, so, and that's not originally where the people came from.
Right. I mean,
we were from, you know,
all over
masses
there.
All over the country.
Sure.
So, I mean,
it's
still, even after all that, like you were saying before, like what we went through and what everybody's been through, and I mean, I feel like all the natives are still open and like we've always have been from the start, you know, and hearts are open, minds are open, and, you know, we just want everybody to live good, you know, and feel good. And I feel like water is what it's all about. I mean, so, and that's the main source. Once you lose that, then, you know, we're all here for, there's no reason for us to be here anymore then, you know.
Well, I know you've written a lot of blues songs. Did you ever write a blues song about water?
No, it's coming though.
Yeah, is it?
I'm working on it now.
Is it?
Yeah,
are you?
I've been back home, kind of working on some stuff and ideas. Like I said, it's where I grew up on the reservation, and so it kind of, you know, that feeling and that soul or whatever kind of comes, you know, into everything I do. So, and I guess that's one of the reasons why I kind of connected with blues a lot too. I mean, growing up, you know, hearing all the old blues stuff, and so it kind of all felt a little connection there, I guess, you know.
I know Stevie Ray Vaughan was a real revelation to you as you were coming up.
Yeah, he was one of the big ones. Jimmy was probably one of the first ones that really, Jimi Hendrix was kind of one of the first ones, and Santana.
And you're touring with the Experience Hendrix Tour, aren't you?
Yeah, it starts up in, I believe it starts up in February, and then goes through March. So it's like a good, that'll be all over the country. So a lot of great players on that. So
I saw you play at Steve's Guitars a few months ago. Yeah. When was that? February or March? Something like that?
It was probably like a year.
Has it been that long?
Ago. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You know, I was so impressed with your guitar playing. Of course, everybody is. But the thing that impressed me most was, you know, so many guitarists, when they're playing their instrument, they're concentrating so heavily on the fretboard. They're looking at it. Yeah. Man, I didn't see you look at your fretboard once. I saw you looking up, and you were channeling something. And it seems like you're one with your instrument.
I don't know, but that's right. Well, it's, you know, I always think I'm whenever I'm thinking or whatever, it's probably more about thinking about the words to the song, you know.
Oh, I have to remember the next verse.
Yeah, yeah. So when I'm got my eyes closed and stuff, that's what I'm thinking about. So.
That's funny. Well, you have your acoustic guitar in your hands. I'd love to hear a tune from you if you don't mind.
Try one here for you.
Nice. Matonanji live in the studios of KDNK, playing tonight over at the Third Street Center with his band Indigenous. You're doing the full electric setup, aren't you, over there?
No, not tonight.
Oh, not tonight?
It'll be close. It'll be me and Justin playing bass with me tonight. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Huh.
We just lost our drummer for a minute, but we'll get him in E-Town.
There we go. There we go. Wow, and so there's also drumming and dancing. Let's bring the drummer and the dancer in a little bit on this. Playing some traditional pieces or sort of festival pieces? How are you approaching that?
Well, these will be some contemporary dances that we're going to do along with a round dance. It's kind of a celebration dance to dance together and celebrate life and togetherness, unity. So those are the contemporary dances that we're going to bring tonight.
Well, you brought your drum, and we have 2-3 mics on. Can you do just a little bit for us?
Give us a sense? Charlie's not only is Charlie a dancer, he's also a singer, too. He does multiple things, and I'm just a singer, but Charlie has some really good songs that he wanted to actually bring to the people of Carbondale, so he wants to sing one of his favorite songs.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
All right,
thank you.
The song I'm going to sing is a thank you song for all the people contributing and helping out with the protest up there, and goes a little something like this.
Thank you very much. Well, I want to thank you all for coming in and saying hello to our listeners and for playing tonight and supporting the protesters in North Dakota. Thank you, Tara. Thank you, too. And best of luck to you. Best of luck to us. All right. Stay with us. We have more to come on today's Express Yourself.
Ways of running long. But time is only a dimension. Then someone broke the light between what's right and wrong. Don't it make you want to cry? Don't it make you want to scream? We've had all we're ever going to have and lost those dreams we were going to dream. Then someone broke the light, shaking the sky, shaking our soul. Don't it make you want to cry? Make you want to cry. Pain bleeding from our eyes. But we do what we have to do. We can't promise. We had no idea what we did led to what we're going through. The passion of want, the passion of need, the passion to love, the passion to hate. The passion of passion, the passion to live, the passion of destiny, the passion of fate. Thank you. we believe, we love. We love, we believe. Then come those cracks in our world, shaking the sky, shaking our soul, new wounds on scars that are old. If we could take it back, what would we take? And what about that part that says to forgive? When the mirror looks at us, who do we see? And how did we get ourselves into this reality? Then someone broke the light, shaking the sky, shaking our soul. Don't it make you want to cry?
John Trudell, Broke the Light. You're tuned to the Express Yourself show here on KDNK, coming up on 4:30. And before we continue with the show, let me mention, of course, the annual Labor of Love Auction and Holiday Bazaar that KDNK is inviting you to on first Friday, December 2nd from 5 to 9 p.m. Lots of great items that you can grab for your holiday shopping list. And if you have any groovy, cool stuff that we need to add to the list, drop them on by the station here at 76 South 2nd Street or give us a call, 963-0139. And yes, tax donation or donations are tax deductible. Also want to mention tonight, the Deck the Walls Holiday Show at Carbondale Arts kicks off from 6 to 8 over at the Launch Pad. The R2 Gallery transforms into a shop full of artisanal goods created by local and regional artists. More information at carbondalearts.com or 963-1680. And at the other end of our listening area, the Leadville Arts Coalition. Hello, Leadville proudly presents its annual Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair on CMC's Leadville campus today from 4 to 8 and tomorrow from 10 until 4. You'll find handmade objects from hometown and regional artists. More information at lac.arts.info@gmail.com. Well, the idea of improvisation has always seemed a little abstract to me. I was aware that improv training has always been valuable for actors and comedians, but I wasn't very aware of the nuts and bolts of the practice. But then yesterday I sat down with Jeff Patterson, Jan Garrett, Gerald DeLisser, and Miller Ford, four of the nine members of Consensual Improv, which is a new local group of performers. And from them, I learned some of the mechanics of how improv works.
So we have a very special treat for all of you listening right now. We have Dr. Know-It-All is here in the studio. Now, for those of you first time hearing this, this is actually three people responding as one person, Dr. Know-It-All. So we're going to do a little interview. Dr. Know-It-All flew in from some random place in the world. I don't even remember where he's from. I haven't read his press release. But this man, this human being is so wise, can answer anything. And they're going to field a question, any kind of question. So, Luke, I want you to think of a question here of what you'd like to ask Dr. Know-It-All. Could be the meaning of life, could be anything whatsoever. And Dr. Know-It-All will respond.
Is Donald Trump for real?
This
question
is
really
pertinent
with
today's
society.
So
I
decided
to
just
think
and
feel
what
relaxation
techniques
feel
like.
And
I
would
try
to
just
sit
and
decide
to
forget
about
it.
Okay, interesting. Very, very interesting. A little bit cryptic, not going to lie, but very interesting. I have a follow-up question to that. How do you think politics plays into the meaning of life? How does American politics tie into the meaning of life, Dr. Know-It-All?
If
lying
was
really
a
art,
I
think
they
should
study
more
about
history,
and
then
we
might
learn
something.
Then,
yeah, I think we could all learn something from learning something for sure, Dr. Know-It-All. And I have just a few more questions, just because I know we've got you here for such a short amount of time. You know, how do you stay so fit? You look amazing and you travel a lot. What's your secret to having such a vital, you know, energy field?
My
routine
is
that
I
dance
every
second
I
can,
walking
long
distances
down
hallways
and
streets,
skipping
and
frolicking,
jumping
every
chance
I
get.
Wow, dancing. You have a dancey aura, I'm not going to lie. So that makes a lot of sense. Let's do one last question here. And I'm so sorry. I wish we had more time in this interview, because your knowledge, I mean, if you could be in the studio with me, you'd feel it rolling off of Dr. Know-It-All. Dr. Know-It-All, the last question I'd like to ask is, what do you perceive our country needs to do to be truly great again?
I
think
we
should
try
to
forget
all
problems
and
just
move
into
another
future
where
we
can
learn
peaceful
quietness
and
love.
Wow, now there's a message to end on, of entering into a future reality. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Dr. Know-It-All, thank you so much for your time. Mm-hmm. And I feel enriched, not going to lie. I feel totally enriched.
Me too, Jeff. Are you responsible for this wonderful craziness?
I take no responsibility for this craziness other than, no, we all came together, and it's a ton of fun, this group, as you can tell. And the show's Friday and Saturday. You know, it's just going to be more like a party, really, than a show.
Huh. Well, the website, Thunder River Theater website, says hilarious, short and long form improv games, laughs, surprises, and good times.
Good times. I mean, how do you go wrong with good times?
I
don't
really
know.
Thank you, Dr. Know-It-All, for weighing in once again. I mean, you're so generous of spirit. Thank you very much.
You know, I'm really happy that we did this little bit. You know why? Because I see what it is. You hear about improv, you know, Second City improv and all the other history of improv in the theater. But to see it in front of your eyes, I'm struck by the fact that you guys really have to listen.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
You do, don't you? That's a great skill.
It's a skill that sometimes people forget.
Was that something that came natural to you, Jan Garrett, or did you have to learn?
Oh, my God. So that's something that one has to learn, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you if you have something to say, like, all the time, you tend to put it out there all the time. But the point is, especially in conversations, even at a dinner party, I think what happens lots of times is, you know, you just have this exchange of stories. People are kind of trying to one-up one another. And so somebody else is talking, and you're just thinking, oh, what am I going to say? That's really cool. And, you know, and that is so annoying after a while. It's so completely boring.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the rules of improv, the second rule, is listen.
And what's the first?
Yes, and.
The second rule literally is listen.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
That is correct. And, you know, it's a... It's kind of lessons in life, if you can take those little things with you. You know, two ears, one mouth.
And these lessons he's talking about, they're punishable by law. We have, during our shows, we will have policemen in uniform there. And if we break the rules, we'll be jailed. There'll be jail time. There'll be sentencing. It's pretty serious stuff.
So these laws were brought down from the mount, etched into stone tablets.
Yes, brought down from the mountain of Second City and Del Close and some of the forerunners of improv. And now our American law enforcement is enforcing it, which I feel really intimidated by, honestly.
Gerald DeLisser, are you the kind of person that can follow rules?
Yeah, for the most part. I enforce a lot of rules, too. I sell marijuana for a living, so I have to follow a lot of rules when doing that, believe it or not.
How ironic is that?
Yeah.
And Miller, what about you? What's your experience with that?
Well, you know, breaking the rules is kind of in my blood, so I usually, I don't fall victim too hard to the law and order part of it, but it's all a learning experience for me. It's brand new, and I've just been loving it since I started.
And just so you know, Miller's not high. He sounds like it a little bit, but you're not high. I'm not trying to be rude, but when I first met you, I thought you were high, but you're not. You just have this really—
That would work out with probation, no.
Right, but but this guy's very funny. I mean, people that come to the show are going to see. You just have, you kind of make people laugh just looking at, I'm not saying you're funny looking. I'm just saying that you have a funny way about you.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I have been called funny looking, and I have that visual effect on people sometimes. If I don't make you angry, then you usually would probably like me by first looks alone. So thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. Yeah. I am not high, though.
Shameless plug for his screenplay that he's working on is Bearvalanche. Bearvalanche. I'm just putting a plug out there for your screenplay.
Is that a pun? Bearvalanche.
Just get ready. The animal-oriented chaos movies are going on right now, and Bearvalanche will take place in Aspen. It has to do with there's a little fracking involved, and the main character that is Trump-esque will be eaten by the end of the movie.
How did consensual improv come together? You guys call yourself a posse, right?
Yeah, because it's a little bit irreverent and unscripted, so that's why I like the word posse. About 6 months ago, I just wanted to do more improv. I used to do it in Los Angeles years ago in my former life as an actor. It was such great personal growth and creative growth, and I just wanted to do it. And I looked around. I couldn't find a class or anything, and I decided to put together a group and with the intention of practicing and mastering the form and then eventually performing. And then that brings us to today. We really need to get an audience and get up, and that's what we're doing this weekend.
Huh. Did this show require a lot of rehearsal?
Yes, but the rehearsal is not that we're going to be rehearsing the actual material we deliver. We're just practicing the rules of improv and spontaneously creating new scenes every single time we rehearse. So it's never the same. It's all new material, all new characters every single time we step on stage.
Huh.
I would, for someone inexperienced as I am with improv, I would call it more like a sport. And we don't necessarily rehearse, we practice. We have the format in front of us, and just like a sport, the rules are established. But once the ball's on the field, per se, there's no telling what's really going to happen. And that's the beauty.
But those of us who aren't really sporty people, but maybe those of us who are musicians are really used to playing with one another. And what I think is really cool, many things I think is cool about this consensual improv, but the point is that grown-ups actually get together to play.
Oh, that's cool.
You know what I'm saying? It's fun, and it's very inclusive and generous, and we're supporting one another while the whole thing's going down. So it'd be like, you know, you're playing with a really good jazz band, and, you know, somebody's taking a solo, but everybody else is supporting that person. And then you switch leads, you know? So... Huh. It's sports and it's music. And what else, Gerald? What would you say?
Just a lot of fun. I really enjoy playing with all these guys. They're a great group to play with. And I think you guys should come join and watch. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I imagine part of that rehearsal process is just getting comfortable with each other. Because I'll bet when you're up there doing improv, you're kind of naked, you know? So you guys have to feel secure that you're all in it together.
Yeah, although we rehearse naked almost every week, We will not be doing the show naked. We'll just be figuratively naked.
So that's the consensual part of all
that's
this?
Where it's. We all agreed. Okay. We're not wearing clothes this rehearsal. So it was, you're right, it was consensual. One of the things I think is so cool about improv and is different than real life is it is built on saying yes and. So.
Instead of yes, but.
Yeah, correct.
Or no.
Or just but. No, yeah. Or denying. A lot of times in a scene, you know, you'll watch two actors and one actor might say, Jared, let's just do something. Throw me a line and we'll go down the traditional path of what happens in real life. Let's just kind of do a scene.
Okay. Oh, Frank, what is, oh my God, that mole on your face, it doesn't look like it looks like it's growing.
It's not a mole. That's not a mole. I don't have a mole on my face. My face is beautiful.
It looks like it must be another twin.
I don't know what you're looking at because it doesn't exist. Okay, there's an example. I denied him. I'm like, that's not a mole. You'd be surprised how often that happens naturally in scenes when people start doing improv. And we do that in life. We resist what comes our way. What's so cool about improv is it's you must say yes and then add new information, which takes it in directions you cannot control. And that is the scary but brilliant part of it. So let's rewind the tape. Let's do that again. Give me the same line and I'll agree. And we'll play that scene out a little bit as it would in improv rather than real life or how it happens sometimes in theater, which is built on conflict. Go ahead.
Oh my God, Frank, that thing on your face, it's enormous.
It's huge. It's throbbing. I feel like it has its own heartbeat.
Oh my God, is it talking?
Yes, it is. And it's telling me that I need $100.
$100? Okay, that seems reasonable.
Totally reasonable.
Do I get to talk to it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
For $100, you can talk to it 3 times a week for 5 minutes.
All right, cool. Yeah, there's some things I'd like to air out.
Well, let's start. What's the first thing?
So first off, there's this guy, Frank, the guy that you're attached to.
This bump hates Frank, just
I'm
for the
I'm talking
record.
To Frank.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm sorry. So, yeah, this guy, I don't know. He has things growing on his face, and I don't really trust those things. I know I'm talking to you right now.
Whoa. Okay. So you're talking to me and the bump. I'm
Frank,
into
Frank,
it.
Frank, please. I'm talking to the thing on your face.
You're right. I'm controlling again. This thing has got a hold of me. I can't even think for myself anymore. So you get the idea. See what happens? It's like it goes to a place you can't control. And it's funny because we don't say yes. We're not used to it. And when you say yes and then you add a little information on top of it, it can be really exciting and fun.
Sounds like a life lesson too, which is kind of cool.
Totally
allegorical,
cool.
Allegorical.
Totally. I mean, I think I like you guys to respond because some of the people in the group have said, I've been saying yes and in my life, and lots of opportunities are happening because of it. I don't know if you guys found that. One of our group members, Don Cheney, he loves, you know, it's one of the things he always says, I love this yes and stuff because I'm saying yes and in my life more. And you know, he's just like an evangelist of yes. And he's such a bright, you know, light of a guy in the world. If you know him, you know what I'm talking about.
So who are the other people involved in the?
Michael Monroney is in the group. Nina Gabanelli is in the group. Cassidy Wiley, Corey Simpson. And who else am I missing?
That's it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep.
And the four of us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how many? 10? 9?
There's 9.
9.
I might have. I hope I didn't. Did I miss someone?
God.
Yes. I almost forgot. Most important player. Yes.
And God's wife. Let's have Mrs. God in there too, because that's important.
They're both watching, rubbing their bellies.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, we've got a great, yes, together, always together. We've got a great musician, Eric. I'm forgetting Eric's last name. I feel like a heel.
Lamb.
Eric Lamb. He's a great musician and adds a lot of color and some really fun stuff in the show as well. And Olivia and Jesse. Olivia and Jesse and Sean are part of the tech, and they're just sharp as a tack. It's really a fun show.
And Miller Ford, do you find yourself having to suppress laughter while you're on stage? Like, I can't believe they just said that.
I find myself trying to suppress laughter. I don't know how well it works. And I think that adds to the whole dynamic of it because, you know, I can't help but laugh at some of this stuff. It's so spontaneous and awesome. I can't contain myself. So laughter just happens for sure.
So it's not one of the rules that you were talking about earlier.
I would hope not, because that those police would have already locked me up a long time ago.
Thou shalt not laugh is not part of the equation.
Yeah. Not at all.
Especially for the audience, I presume.
Well, there's no mistakes in improv. We're supposed to weave everything into it. So even if you did laugh, a lot of times you could include that into your character, you know.
That's another cool thing. No mistakes in improv. Yeah. I have to bend my mind around that.
Yeah.
Huh.
And what he means is that whatever one of the actors on stage gives their fellow actor, it's the other actor's job to justify it. Just like when Gerald said, that thing on your face, it's huge. I said, yes, and it's got a heartbeat. It's like I agree and justify what he's talking about and then toss something to him and then he justifies it. And that's really our job, is just to justify what is going on. There's absurdity that happens. We just give a real, genuine, like authentically genuine reason for why that's happening. And that's what is kind of can be zany about it. We're not trying to be funny. And it happens. It happens. I do this all the time, more than I'd like to admit. I try to be funny, and then it sucks. So we're really not trying to be funny. We're just trying to be truthful to how we feel in the circumstance of the moment and to respond. And when we do that, given the rules of improv, it's just some really exciting things happen.
Go ahead, Jan.
No, I was just going to say, I think we're all having fun up on stage and doing what we do, but it's important to say also that the audience is part of what's going on. It's really important. The audience is part, we'll get suggestions from the audience. And there's this sense, I think this is true, tell me you guys who are in theater, that there's a fourth wall usually when you do a production. So the audience is just sort of sitting there peering in on what is happening on stage. But in this case, there's no fourth wall. In other words, it's completely, permeable. Everything in, everything out, and the audience is included. So there's this sense of generosity, and everybody's in on the jokes.
I would even say that the audience is just as much of a member of our troupe as we are, because without them, it wouldn't even really happen. So they're just as important.
Do you actually invite them to participate, or is it just sort of understood?
It's all about the moment. So, I mean, they might be up there with us at sometimes. At other times, it's just going to be as much as a suggestion, or maybe knowing about their day, or getting the title of some type of story that we can run with. So,
yeah, it is a great feeling as an audience member. I mean, I've gone to improv shows as well. When you give a suggestion that creates just a beautiful, great, funny scene, you know, it really makes you do feel a part of it.
Yeah, and for example, when we open up a game or a scene or something, someone from the game or the host will walk up and say, you know, could I get a suggestion? This next scene is going to be inspired by a suggestion. So give me a one-word suggestion, something you might find in your grandma's kitchen. And somebody says, an egg beater. So, all right, an egg beater is going to inform or inspire this scene. And then the two actors create a who they are, where they are, the circumstances, all around an egg beater. Right. And that's what's so really, it's amazing to watch that happen, because then sometimes with the show, as scenes and parts of different scenes go along, there's sort of like this gestalt, like this bigger thing that starts to happen between the audience and the cast. It almost like becomes one organism, and these thoughts come out and like things get tied together from earlier scenes. And it can be really cool.
Are all nine of you on stage at once all the time?
Not all the time. Mm-hmm. There'll be some games where everybody's playing, some scenes where everybody's involved, and then there'll be some where there'll be two, some four, some five, some three. We kind of mix it up.
Huh. Wow. Amazing. Really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. Friday night, Saturday night, 8 p.m.
Doors open at 7:30. And there'll be a cash bar. Again, it's going to be a very light, fun mood. Cash bar will be open the whole time. We're going to actually hang around afterwards, after the show, for, 30, 45 minutes to an hour, and maybe have a drink and visit with people or chat and just kind of hang out, because we so appreciate the people that are coming out. We think this is kind of a fun, unique thing. The things that you would do in Chicago, New York, L.A., and the talent of the people in this group is really sweet. We're not where we are going to be in terms of our prep and being like our group is getting really good fast, but we're not where we're going to be. But this is going to be cool for people to see us where we're at now.
So there's a commitment for you guys to keep it going, sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Thunder River Theater, they can get tickets on their website. Is that right?
TRTC.com.
Yep. And 963-8200 is the phone number.
And if you got an extra $10 jingle jangling around in your pocket, that's not too bad. Come on in and see us.
Yes. Thanks, Luke. Thanks for having us.
Hey,
it was so much
fun.
Yeah.
This was great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you all.
Thanks a lot.
May the force be with you.
And you. That was Jeff Patterson, Jan Guerra, Gerald DeLisser, and Miller Ford. Half of the new local group of performers that call themselves Consensual Improv. You heard him say, tonight and tomorrow night over at Thunder River Theater, 8 o'clock, doors open at 7:30. Who'd have thunk it? Listen, yes and, no mistakes. Rules for Improv as Life Lessons. I didn't know that. Learn something new every day here on Express Yourself. And that brings to the end another Express Yourself. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the news coming up. Let's go out with a song from Indigenous, their 2008 CD called Broken Lands. Here is Place I Know. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the local and national news coming right up on KDNK. And remember to go out there and express yourself.